This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
You read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
Buy or sell time, Angel. Are you buying or selling that was the Lakers' best punch? That the Nuggets took it, they took it on the chin, but they got right back up and that was it. This series is over.
Yeah, I feel about 90% sure about that. The only exception to it would be if D'Lo and Austin Reeves are both hitting from three. But I don't feel that confident that both of them are going to have the same kind of night that D'Lo had yesterday.
Yeah, I'm buying it, man. I predicted a sweep, and I'm sticking with it. I'm buying it. That was the Lakers' best punch. Nuggets are going to move on to the second round. Buy or sell? I'm going to do it again, Angel. The Rockies are going to win a series in the month of April. I'm going to bring it up every day. They're in the bad every day, and they're in the buy or sell every day.
They finish up here with the Padres.
It's a four-game series, so.
And then you got the Astros in Mexico. And then one game against Miami to end the month. I don't think so.
They're so bad, they're sending them to Mexico to play baseball.
I'm sorry, Mexico.
Here's our representation.
The Astros aren't great either this year, yeah. There's some bad baseball.
Buy or sell, the refs made a mistake last night in the third. Now that I've cleared it up a little bit, thanks to some help on the old X network, platform, whatever, buy or sell that the refs really screwed this one up. It was that bad.
I'm going to say no. Seeing the response to it on social media, it's easy to react and say, he clearly hit him in the face as he's going up for the shot. Well, the rules say that the foul occurred before the shot, which means it's on the floor. No shooting foul.
It was a check foul, hand check or whatever. They called before the swipe of the face.
Yeah, and maybe Malone was feeling a little lucky because he got the challenge early in the game the foul on LeBron. Yeah, let's go for two.
Malone was doing a great job on his challenge side of things, man. He was good. He was throwing that red flag out there.
And you
there.
Wouldn't be able to use the second one if you didn't win the first
right.
one.
Right, yeah. So good for Michael Malone. High school basketball. Colorado is finally getting a shot clock in high school basketball. I just read finally. That's not my opinion yet. Kevin Lytle just said that. But he put it out there. It will be a varsity shot clock at all classes. They passed the vote 40 to 30.
Does it say how long it is?
35 is what I read somewhere. Buy or sell that?
We've had this conversation before, and my first opinion was, yeah, that sounds good. Why not? Use it to help them get ready for the next level. And then we heard from some coaches, some referees, and that there's difficulties in managing the clock itself. You kind of have to have somebody always watching it, somebody watching the rim if they need to reset it. I don't know.
I've changed my stance on this, and arch nemesis of the show, Dixon, is partly responsible for this. I grew up at a small school, and it was the people that were running the stats and scores table and all that stuff. I mean, they're all there on volunteer. Are they basketball know-it-alls? Not all of them. I'm sure they know the game enough. But to actually be watching the game so closely, they got to turn the clock on and off. If it hits the rim, they got to clear it and all that stuff. That's a lot for some of these small schools that don't really have a lot of people involved.
Yeah, and there's no replay center to say, hey, wait, did that ball hit the rim? I don't know. It looked like it did. But I'm over here on the sideline and the rim's 90 feet away.
Yeah, I've changed on this. I just think it's a lot. In theory, yes, I agree with you. Like, it would be great for transition into the college game. And it makes the, you know, for entertainment purposes, which I get it's preps, but we're highly entertained by preps here at the station. Some of these games are freaking fire. Last night's baseball game, my goodness. But for entertainment purposes, it does keeps the ball moving. And I think you would probably get better basketball out of it. But I just don't know that it's in the stars for every school. Somebody had suggested to me that they should have just done this with 4 and 5A.
But I mean, do they play cross, like interconference type of play?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Like
yeah.
If a 3A school plays a 4A school, yeah. Do they use the shot clock or not?
I know football does. Mm. I know, like, how many times did I watch Windsor play Eton before Eton moved up or whatever it was? So, that would be tough if they're crossing over. So they just went all through it, all classes, 40 to 30. I've changed my stance on that one, so I think I'm going to sell it. But, I don't have that much energy. I'm sure they'll figure it out. Yeah. All right, that's going to be buy or sell. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What do you guys think about that? Buy or sell? Oh, I got this. I forgot this note, Angel. Buy or sell? Good move. Georgie starting tonight for the Colorado Avalanche. You brought it back. Yeah, there we go.
Do we have a status on Juice? Do we know how he's feeling?
Yesterday, not good. Now, probably still not good. It's like I said yesterday, dude. If you were sick enough to miss a playoff game, unless it was food poisoning, you probably don't feel better 2 days later.
It is a weird feeling because I feel very confident that the Avs found their offensive rhythm in game one. They were flying around, getting goals quickly, quieting that crowd for a little bit. And, you know, the goalie just let them up, you know, in that mid-second, early third period. I still feel that this team can outscore their opponent, but you can't give up a touchdown. Even four is a lot, and that's the joke around him is four GF, because he's going to give up four goals. So hold it under four, and I think the Avs can win it.
I think if, this is going to sound probably obvious, but shut him out in the first period, I think the Avs win.
Yes.
Shut him out in the first period. That means, you know, you could see two goals in the second, two goals in the third, whatever. But I think if you shut them out in the first period, I don't know that a first period of hockey has ever been so important to a team. So the Avs, you need to get rocking tonight.
Yeah, and make it easier on Georgie by playing a little better defense.
Yeah, and that's that high danger shot thing we talked about. The Avs have struggled at times on that side. How do you say this name? So the third string goalie that was the backup goalie on Sunday has been put back to the Eagles. They swapped him out with Ivan P word. Oh, we're getting a Derbs is coming in. I might be getting a pronunciation here let's see. Ivan Prosvetov.
Prosvetov?
Yeah, Prosvetov.
Sounds right.
Yeah, there we go.
He was AHL Goaltender of the Month in March.
Well, then put him in. Let's go. Prosvetov. Thank you. Eustace is out, I think, according to everything I've read so far, is that Eustace is out for this one tonight. But Georgie's going to get it. We're going Georgie here.
And he does actually have NHL experience.
Oh, that's good. The other guy did not, right?
Yes.
Darvin Barron.
He was acquired on February 4th to the Eagles, and on February 10th, he made 38 saves and a 32 victory over the Canucks.
Well, and hey, Frankie kind of worked out a little bit for the Avs for a moment. He was on that Stanley Cup team, and he was an Eagle.
He's actually made 11 NHL appearances this season, going 4-3-1 with a 3.16 goal against average. And an 89.5 save percentage.
Do you just put him in? Just throw him in there? I mean, playing goalie, it's not like you have to know everything going on with the rest of the team. Stop the puck.
I would say, depending on how that first period goes, and it's going to be important.
Oh.
If Georgie's confidence looks shot, if he's throwing the stick down and just like, I just can't stop these pucks, then yeah, you throw Prosvetov in there.
If Georgie is pulled in this game tomorrow, Angel, the Avs are toast. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't even say the guy's name. And Eustace Onanen has, you know, a cold or something. Hopefully it's not worse than that. And so This is it. Why do the Avs always have this issue? Critical guys just, you know, either sick or they're gone or something. This is a crucial time tonight. And I think if things are so bad that the Avs have to pull Georgie out of this game, bye-bye. It's over. And the Avs will be eliminated in the first round of this one. I mean, you can't... Georgie is not as good as Darcy Kuemper. I thought he might be at times throughout the regular season, but Darcy was average. He floated around average to above average, and I think he was above average in their Stanley Cup run. And that's certainly not what you're getting from Alexander Georgiev. But, you know, we have faith in the guy. You got to have faith in the guy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Dixon chiming in on the First Advantage text line. Less than 0.01% of high school basketball players advance to the next level. Well, I understand that, but I get what we're talking about the shot clock and how it makes them better. Mm-hmm. But some do, and it will make them better. Is that a real stat? Because it feels like in the state of Colorado alone,
it's a very small number.
A higher number is going to, you know, junior colleges and two-year colleges and stuff.
Yeah,
too.
And next level isn't just Division I.
No. There's a lot of divisions in college. Are you sure about that stat there, Dixon? I don't know. Maybe you're right, but I still think that it's good.
Could it be beneficial for coaches?
Yeah.
And being, if a coach were going to go to the next level, having experience coaching with a shot clock.
I think so. There's plenty of coaches that start at high school and then they're learning to get in their offense faster and all that stuff. So I think, again, in theory, it is a great idea. I mean, I remember, Angel, when I was a little kid, my mom and dad took me to a Cheyenne Wells basketball game. I think my brother was in it or something. And it was my cousin doing this. It was funny. But the coach at the time, they were up. It was like, in the first quarter, it was like 10-4. Cheyenne Wells is up. And there's 2.5 minutes on the clock. And the guy's dribbling past half court. Nobody comes to pick him up. The coach says, stay there. So he just sat there, and he dribbled. Nobody came to play defense on him. The crowd started laughing. Some started booing. Some were yelling, mostly laughing. And then you got down to 10 seconds left, and then they ran a play. I don't know if they scored or not. But I remember watching it. I was like, that is so weird. But you can do that if you wanted to. If a defense is going to pull. There was a viral video. Did you see that one? Where both the offense and the defense, like, both coaches basically said, we're not going to play defense on you, you just stand there. And they just stood there. Like, there were no points.
Is there 8-second holding call?
Yeah, there's holding, but if you're just sitting there bouncing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're good. It's hilarious. Dixon says, yes, when you consider boys and girls and all the bench players, etc. Okay, but then give me a stat for starting five. Of the starting five in the state of Colorado, how many of those guys and gals go to the next level?
Of the top 25 college basketball players in the state, or high school basketball players, how many are going to go to Division I, Division II, Division III?
Wouldn't you argue that if you're a top 25, all of them probably, if they wanted to,
sure,
could go play college? Hell, dude, I got a letter. I didn't get a scholarship. I got a letter that said we're interested in talking to you. Yeah.
Did you talk to them?
No. Hell no. I was done with sports. I did not want to play sports anymore. I love sports so much, but I was fried. I did as many sports as I possibly could by high school. Broke 3 ribs my senior year of football, and I was like, I just want to go to college and, you know.
Be college.
Yeah, man. Go to the library. Just be smart. Not do anything else.
Maybe go work out.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't that good. I was a good defensive player, dude. I'm a 5'10 and a half on a good day. White guy. I was quick. And you got to play defense. That's what I did. And if there's a lot of decent players out there that were better or worse than me that probably had conversations. So if you're top 25, yeah, you're going to college basketball. So shot clock's good for those top 25s. 19 after the hour. Let's take a quick break. What do you guys think about it? It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
You know, I get a lot of things wrong. I do. But I know that's hard to believe, but I do. But I got this one right last night. I put it out on the X platform, I don't know, a minute or two left in the game, and I said, Jamal Murray is about to do something special. Watch. I truly, sometimes you just tweet things because you want it to happen. I really felt that way. The way Jamal was starting to handle the basketball, the way he was starting to move, I just felt like it was going to be Jamal time. If Joker got the ball in those situations late, he might have gotten doubled or whatever, and then he finds an open player or whatever, but I really thought it was going to be Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray shoots the ball, and he wasn't 100% sure that this thing went in. He just basically heard screams and everybody surrounding him.
I didn't see it go in, though. That was the funny part. So when I shot it, I saw it like right above the rim. But when it went in, I just heard everybody, and that's how I knew. That's all I needed. It was funny. I just saw a bunch of faces, like a movie, and it was funny. I was just laughing because I was like, you know, after everything that went on in that game, for that one to go down, just shows how close we are as a group, you know. I got a group of 15, 16 guys in here that told me to keep shooting, told me to keep being aggressive, and just to see the game unfold like that, it's literally history in the making.
It was special, and it's always fun to see a happy Jamal Murray. He's not always happy when he's talking to the media. He had a little twinkle going on in his eyes there, man.
Yeah, and he's wearing a Maggie Simpson T-shirt with the L on the forehead. And like, I don't know if that was planned, but yeah, I complain about that. Good. Like, I'll see pregame videos, and Jamal just looks so unhappy. I'm like, is he okay?
Is it because he's annoyed with the Denver media, same people every day, or was this because
of the shot
last night?
He can't even watch UFC fights and enjoy them.
He got roasted for that, man. That was a great moment. And, you know, Jamal said that everybody on the sidelines was just talking to him. Is constantly everybody saying, hey, keep shooting it, man. You got this. And that's a real, you know, again, sometimes that happens on teams, sometimes it doesn't. There's a lot of times where it's like, no. You've shot your last one for the night, man.
Reggie
You're
Jackson.
Done. Reggie's eesh.
But for Murray, we've seen him in the past where he has those flurries or he has those games where he is just feeling it and he is just on, and you couldn't tell him to stop shooting. And in a game like that, you know, you think of a guy like MPJ who has that same mentality of just keep shooting and eventually it's going to fall. To trust both of them in that late game scenario to get big shots off, and it works. And there's a cool clip of them out there, you know, giving each other a hug at the end of the game. And it's like those two guys are probably closer than we maybe get to see on a regular basis.
Yeah. It's a great point. I thought the start of this game was the start of something bad for Jamal until obviously the end. He was over-aggressive. I thought a lot of his shots, he was rushing them. And then as he missed the first two, and I felt like he was trying to insert himself into the game quickly and match Russell a little bit. And Reeves, I thought, did a pretty good job defending him.
Mm-hmm.
But that was where it all kind of went wrong for me. I would have liked to see Jamal after the first two misses. And I'm not saying don't stop shooting. Just take a break from it. You have so many other options that you can work on. I would have liked to see them try to get Joker involved in the paint more. And so I get where Reggie Miller was trying to go with what he said when Joker hit a three. And Reggie on the broadcast last night said, yeah, but the problem with that is he's not going to be in the paint scoring or passing. And I've seen Joker hit some pretty crazy passes from the top of the key, too. So I didn't like that saying, but I get what he's saying. Like, you want to try to get Joker working down in the paint because that's what opens everything up ultimately. So I do understand, I think, where he was trying to go with that.
Yeah, and I think obviously the adjustment with Davis primarily guarding Jokic, it did clog up a bit of those, you know, those passing lanes, because there were several plays where Jokic gets the ball right on that little wing mid-range area, and he starts looking to find those passes. Who's going to be cutting? Who can I find? And not a lot of those areas were there. So credit the Lakers for that adjustment, but also as the game went on, you start to figure things out, get different assignments, get different switches on the away from the ball, and then you start to find those passes more.
Yeah. So that's what I would like to see Thursday night. Let's get into our Joker stuff a little bit earlier and not force with Jamal. You know, and if that leads to an open Michael Porter Jr., all that stuff, then good. But I, and again, if those are falling, it's a different story. But he didn't look comfortable with some of those shots early. Jamal didn't.
Yeah, and the way that they stagger Jamal with the bench, when Jokic is off the floor, Jamal will be the first one off onto the bench, and then he'll come back and stagger with the unit. At that point, he is more or less the primary scorer. Sometimes MPJ is out there with him, but more than likely, Jamal's the guy that's handling the ball, setting up the plays, and trying to score the most. So maybe, you know, like you're saying, take a break from a bit and focus on that bench minutes to really start to get your flow going.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't feel like we've seen a true Nuggets-Nugget game yet. I think we've seen, what, a quarter and a half of that last night? A quarter and a half of that game one?
Yep.
So we've seen about three quarters of the eight quarters so far?
Yeah, this game, you know, the last two games, obviously the Lakers had moments where they felt like, okay, we can win this. If the Nuggets start off where they're having a 12-point lead in the second quarter going into halftime, you got to feel like, oh my gosh, we really can't beat this team.
Yeah. Well, game three, Thursday night, couple days off. That's big for Denver. Flying Dutchman, how about an electronic strike zone for baseball? Oh, I guess we're talking about shot clock, so he's bringing it to baseball. Humans are clearly making far too many errors, and now that we have legalized sports gambling, it actually matters. Did you see the play? Was it last night? Who was it against? Which baseball team was it?
The Yankees play.
And the guy's yelling, and the ump throws the manager out or whatever, and it's like a fan in the stands.
He like was warning, hey, one more thing, one more word out of you, and you're gone. And so the manager's over in the dugout, arms crossed, okay, I'm not going to say anything. And then the ump says, you're out of here. And he's like, I didn't say anything.
And you see the guy in the background go, blah, I don't even know what he said. You suck or something. Do the umps have too much control? I mean, there's part of me that likes the human element in all of this, including last night.
It's that traditionalist type of, you don't mess with my 100-year-old game.
Would you vote for, if we can make it work, would you vote for an electronic strike zone?
I think it'd be a progression, and the technology exists. You can, you know, even though there's 500 baseballs used in one game, you can put a little microchip in each one, have the zone set up for each player, or have it as a standardized strike zone, which I don't know how that would work, but the technology is there. It's just out if they want to use it.
I don't know how I feel about it. Some days I think I want it, but then I...
And you can have a little speaker in the back where it's like, strong!
I still like the ump, kind of. I don't know. It gives us something to argue about, right? During the game. Flying Dutchman, how many Colorado Buffalo players... You guys are just throwing stuff at me. How many Colorado Buffalo players have been drafted in the first round? I don't know. 20? I'm going to say 20. See where my aim is. Is Big Al the best first-round pick in CU history? He's one of them. Yeah, for sure. Well, what about Michael Westbrook? Maybe I'm trying to think of some of the other good ones. Guys, I watched Daniel Graham was good. Didn't he win a Super Bowl with the Patriots?
Let's see. To answer your first question about the Buffs, the last time they had a first round pick was 2011. They had two. That was Nate Solder and Jimmy Smith. The most recent highest pick was 2020 second round pick Laviska Shenault.
Ah, LaViska was good. He's still in the league, though. He's not great right now, but...
Yeah, they haven't had a first-round pick in...
It's been a while.
Number of years. 12 years?
Jimmy Smith was good. Yeah, Big Al's probably. I don't know. If you're looking at that list, who sticks out to you? As far as guys that played at a high level. What? Where was the...
Chidobe Awuzie?
Yeah.
He was a second-round pick in 2017.
Who was the left tackle for the Packers that just left that team? I can't think of his name. He's Aaron Rodgers' buddy. Was he not a first?
Bakhtiari.
Was he a first rounder?
He He was, I just saw it. He was a fourth round pick in 2013.
I don't know. You're really testing my Buffs knowledge here. Best first rounder, not best Buff. Best first rounder to ever play in the NFL.
Like a Nate Solder, Jimmy Smith.
Daniel Graham could make a case for that, couldn't he? I mean, he was with Brady for a while. He played with the Broncos for a minute.
Tyler Brayton was drafted by the Raiders in 2003. Daniel Graham in 2002.
I mean, it's close. I don't know. It's close. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. There are so many things that happen that depend on a person. Guy stealing, do I throw if it's strike three, etc. So you're saying no? You would not vote for the electronic strike zone? Is that what you're saying, Dixon?
You wouldn't have any of those weird, swinging strikeouts where the ball is still in play, technically.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. It's an out. But
wild pitches, yeah.
Yeah, I would not. I think I'm good with the umps. Bad or good or bad, human nature's all right for the game.
I just felt really bad for that Yankees
man. Oh, golly, man.
It's like I really didn't say anything.
I just saw that on social media last night on the Twitters, and I was cracking up at that. I mean, that's out of your control. Somebody commented on our shot clock thing. Nick says, I volunteer at a 3A school. I think the athletic director is going to budget for it to be a paid-per-game position. And that's good. Come on, what do you think? What do you think they're going to pay him?
What do they normally get paid?
I don't know. Do they give him, like,
$20? Scoreboard operator.
Scoreboard op. Do they even get paid?
There's $20 and a free hot dog.
$20 a game. If that, I don't know.
Voucher, concession stand voucher for halftime.
That's not a lot of money, but how many regular season basketball games are there? Because I'm assuming they'd have their own for playoffs. They'd have their own people do it.
Mm-hmm.
But how many regular season basketball games are there? Do we want to say 24?
20, 25.
Yeah, so.
And half of those are home games.
$500? Is that a lot for small schools, though?
I mean, if you have the passion for it and you really enjoy being in that and being a part of it, sure.
I mean,
it's not your day job, but
it's $500. Is that a lot for a small school that out in Eastern Colorado? I don't know. But then you're also assuming that you're going to find somebody that knows what the hell they're doing. And I'm talking but in Eastern Colorado,
you want like your starter, and then you want your backup in case starter has food poisoning tonight, or he's got kids baby shower or whatever.
And you're not there to watch the game. Right. You can't watch the game. You have to watch the ball. You have to. As soon as that ball's inbound, you got to start it, and then you got to, if it hits the rim, restart it or whatever. If it will go down to it, I don't know if they'll do it like the NBA.
Ball goes out of bounds, you got to be watching for that.
Yeah. I mean, and you can't get caught watching. So I've changed a little bit on this because I just don't know if it's going to work for everybody. Nick says he volunteers at a 3A school. Well, I'm talking about 1A where I went. And we had a lot of basketball fans. Like the parents, and there were a lot of people that knew their stuff. But maybe that's every school. I don't know. But there's smaller schools than even Cheyenne Wells that you would wonder if they would have the right people to do this. Because you can't get distracted. Like, I wouldn't be good at shot clock.
Mm-mm.
I would get distracted. I'd be in the game, watching the game. So I couldn't do it. Or I'd get bored. One of the two. Dixon, if a guy is stealing and it's ball four, but I have to wait for a robot, and I throw the ball when I don't need to because it's ball four, and the ball goes into the outfield. That's a good.
Sure.
Yeah, because you're waiting for computing.
Well, I mean, computers are pretty fast nowadays.
Your computer might be faster than the ump. Because when strike,
I mean, whatever computer the Astros were using to get their little wires to buzz in their shirts.
Yeah, use those.
Those are pretty quick.
It's going to be fast. As soon as the ball crosses, it's going to yell it. Strike.
Yeah, ball. If not equal to or not faster than the human eye will receive that information and call the call.
As I'm painting the picture, I don't like it. And Dixon's painting the picture, yeah. I don't. I think I'm out. I'm out on this electronic strike zone. I know it might make things easier, but...
Well, and it's kind of like a universal thing in baseball. Even down to Little League, parents are arguing with the umpires.
Yeah, it's part of it. What? Not that I love it at the Little League level, but speaking of that, what do you call it? Like, what thing in sports that's not an exact science, such as calling a strike or a ball? First down in football, measuring football, measuring the yardage there. Basketball, I don't know if they're... I mean, those are judgment calls.
Charges.
Charges, maybe.
Moving screens.
Yeah, and then hockey.
Blue line.
Yeah, I guess. Which one of those is, like, the most frustrating? As far as, like, judgment calls, they're not exact science. This is purely based on where someone lays a football.
I'd probably lean, like, the first down just because I watch more football than baseball, but... Even that's like, come on, you're going to spot it. Like, you see the first ref come in, and you're like, oh, that's a good spot. And then you see the other ref come in from out of the screen. It's like, oh, wait, what are you doing? You're a yard behind.
Yeah, I see, that's one where I wish they would have a real line on there. You know, from the first down mark across the field, and there's just a sensor that, I don't know how you would do that. But
I think the UFL uses some kind of first down technology.
It'd still be tough because you'd still have to place it correctly. You know, that's not going to tell you exactly. You're still watching the guy's knee and where the ball is. It's hard to go back and do that. Let's see. Knowing the MLB, they'll probably pick the Angel Hernandez of computers. They just automate it to all be Angel Hernandez.
Oh, jeez.
You know, all these terrible calls, just left and right. Texter from the 405 says pass interference is one of those annoying ones, because that's a judgment call, too.
Yeah, and with that, I'm more annoyed with the penalty of it versus just 15 yards.
You don't like the...
I don't like the spot of the foul.
Spot of the foul. Yeah. You like college?
Yeah.
Where they just say
15.
15.
It almost cheapens the penalty.
I don't know how I feel about that, because if I'm in college, if I'm beat and I know he's going to score a touchdown, I am just going to now put my head down and I'm going to tackle him before he gets the football, knowing that they won't be placed right there.
Right.
And it doesn't always happen. Like, if he beats you, you beat you. You're probably not going to catch him to hit him before the ball. But, I mean, that's always the safe bet, is if in college you're beat and it's going to be a touchdown, try to hit him before and make him drop it, even if it's interference, because it's just going to be 15.
Right.
In the NFL, yeah, it can be a
hey,
deep
let's
one.
Just take a shot. Make force contact on the defender.
They've talked about that before, haven't they?
They have.
Yeah. Changing that one. Well, with the way the rules are and receivers are looking for it so much, maybe it's worth talking about again. 41 minutes after the hour, we'll jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-five minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. I'm really glad the Nuggets have the next two nights off, because that will, you know, get them refreshed, ready to go for the Lakers game. How are we feeling about the Avs tonight? Sounds like it is. It's going to be Alexander Georgiev in the net tonight, and you know they picked up the Eagles guy. They swapped Eagles guys, basically, and Eustace Onanen is doubtful, maybe just listed as out. Feeling good? Tie the series up tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I think, thinking back to the goals that Georgie gave up, I think the last two, the sixth goal was the one where it like ends up behind his back and he's trying to like flail around to try to find it, and then the seventh one was just a one-time slap shot. I think, you know, confidence-wise, you're a little concerned, but I think, you know, if you have a good first period, if the offense can get a couple of goals in early, you feel good. And kind of going to Makar's comment we had yesterday of, hey, you know, we got your back. Just don't give up that many goals, and we can still win this because we can go put up points.
Yeah, I think they're going to win tonight. That's based on probably more of a belief that I don't think it can get any worse for Georgie. Now, the scary part is, can you get that many goals past Hellebuck again? I mean, you're not going to get six, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that first period, again, I know, again, this sounds obvious, Angel, but that's a crucial first period in this series, probably for the playoffs.
Well, can this team's leaders, guys that have this type of experience, guys that were on the Cup team 2 years ago, kind of lead this team like the McKinnons and Nichushkin and Makar? Can they take that brunt of that load on and say, yeah, we're the Colorado Avalanche. We're not going to lose this series. We're not going to lose a game like that again.
Yeah, I mean, what was it Connor McGahee said to us yesterday? That on the deserves to win scale, the Avs checked almost every box.
Right.
Except for stopping the goal. That's why hockey is the most one of the more difficult sports to win. But it's also really entertaining because you could outplay teams all the time. It happens in hockey. You're the better team. You're getting more shots on goal. You're spending more time in their territory. You're moving faster. Your passes are crisp and open. Yet the rare times that they got their shots off, it just happened to go through. That's the beautiful part and probably the infuriating part of this game.
Yeah, and game one was early on a little chippy between these two teams. I think if the Avs can take advantage of more power play opportunities, that's a real good chance to see this offense kind of hit that lightning speed and score some quick goals.
Well, and you had everybody getting involved too,
right?
On, you know, offensively. Weren't there six different goal scorers in that game?
Six different scorers. And, I think five, but Nichushkin had two.
Yeah, and Cale Makar was really good. He had the goal and he had two assists. So, I mean, skill players and all that, I mean, they've got the guys. You know, when you look at Nathan McKinnon, he's one of the best players in hockey. We did that list. We looked at that list last week, and it's Cale Makar and Nathan McKinnon were listed as top three in the top 50 players in these playoffs. So, I mean, they have the guys. They just don't have the goalie. But what a story it would be if Georgie can mentally overcome what happened on Sunday. 48 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we'll get to what did we learn from today's show. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Bank of Colorado presents Nuggets and Avalanche games on KFKA. We are Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say?
What did I learn? The Broncos did just pick up Patrick Surtain's fifth-year option. I learned that moments ago. I learned that the Nuggets are made of championship stuff. You can't. No lead is safe. It feels a lot like Golden State did all those years ago, Angel. I learned that no matter how much a player on this roster will struggle, they're good enough. They have the unifying force between them that one of them is going to come back and make up for it at some point within the game. What'd you learn today, Angel?
Yeah, kind of those same points that, you know, you can't count out this team because they are not the Nuggets teams that we saw in the past that were just getting into the playoffs and hoping to build something. They are at the point now where they are expecting to win, and even a 20-point deficit doesn't faze them, where they can keep going, pick up that defensive effort, which we know is Malone's focal point, and keep encouraging each other to keep shooting, even when one's having a down night, and then having a guy like MPJ be that glue, as we talked about, Jokic and Murray, they're going to do their thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, they were down by 12 at one point in the first game. So I don't like playing with that much fire, to be honest. I'd like to see a strong first quarter on Thursday.
You're giving them a little bit of hope and then snatching it away.
Yeah, but you can only do that so much. I'd like to see Denver four quarters, great basketball, whoop up on the Lakers, take game three, and this thing's over. Win Thursday, and this thing's over. We know what history says. All right, that'll do it for us. We got Avs, we got Jets on KFKA tonight. Pre-game coverage starts at 7? I think it's 7. Game time is 7:30 here on KFKA. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.